I'm the chairman of the planning commission, and it is my pleasure to welcome you tonight. This is a public meeting, and you're encouraged to take part. Just please participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. We have several rules that can help us proceed in an orderly meeting, and I ask you to keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. When you can make a call, please step outside. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so say your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak. Focus on your comments. We'll keep track of time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is at each exit. I now call for a roll call of members.
Bozinger?
Here.
Haleska?
Here.
Pound?
Here.
Katie?
Here.
Huber? Radner?
Here.
Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
And now I'll call for approval of the minutes from the May 6, 2025 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Radner, second by
Boswell.
Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
I'll open a public hearing to consider a final plat application submitted by Nielsen Homes and Development, 1730 State Street, Blair, Nebraska, for the Edge Business Park, lots 1 and 2, being a platting of tax lot 276 in southwest 1 quarter of the southeast 1 quarter of section 12, township 18, north, range 11, east of the 6 p.m., together with tax lot 177 in the northwest 1 quarter of the northeast 1 quarter of section 13, township 18 north, range 11 east of the 6 p.m., all in Washington County, Nebraska, 590 South 10th Street. Jeff.
Good evening, Chair Bozinger and Commissioners. Jeff Byerman, Community Development Director, City of Blair. Your first action tonight is the final plat for the Edge Business Park. Difference between the preliminary plat and this final plat are barely nothing. Everything was well off the first time. Everything was good and in order. So the final plat should be pretty simple to get through. Of course, if you have any more questions, we have to answer them. Again, the Edge Business Park located in the Office Park District along south of 10th Street, just south of the No Name Creek. Zoning district is Office Park. No changes on this plat in the change of zoning district. Right now, there are no city utilities, but they will be added as the plats develop. Right now, I believe there's calls for one building on the lot two and one building, at least one for now on lot one. They will connect to the city utilities off of 10th Street at the time. Because there are no city streets in there, there's no utilities or anything that from the city that's gonna be running inside the lot until they have them. And of course, the final plat does meet all the Blair subdivision requirements. Quick refresher, all Office Park right here. This is the lot in mention. Right here, we have the smaller tax lot, which is a non-buildable tax lot. And then we have this larger tax lot here. This is an overview right there showing the lot where it's at. UP Railroad, residential over here, but all Office Park and AML down in this area. The nice thing about this platting is we get rid of that small tax lot that was pretty much useless to build on. Right now, this is zoomed in on the final plat. You can see lot one and two within this red area right there. This is Office Park here, residential across. Again, we have one Office Park structure across the creek, and then this is all light industrial on that end. The idea of Office Park was to provide a buffer between the light industrial and the residential areas. Here's a view from 10th Street that shows the empty lot as it is now. And again, we're up above. And then finally, we show where the FEMA floodplain is. While the lot may be in any of the floodplain, there's nothing buildable in that area that's going to have fact, I believe they still need to have silt fence up, which is required by NDE. And finally, here's our completed plat showing the signature blocks for planning commission, treasurer, city council, any banks that have interest. With that, any questions on this final plat?
I guess I have one question.
Yes.
So last month we looked at, Mr. Brown came to us and is looking at putting up a training center in this location, right?
Yes.
I guess I'm just trying to understand, like, so is this like contingent upon what he's doing, or what we're voting on tonight, is this contingent on him buying it, or I guess
not
are the two not working together?
In certain instances, you are correct on that. In certain instances, there may be a purchase price contingent on usually a conditional use permit. To say, well, I'm going to like to do this, like buy the land only if I can put my building on like I want. In this case, I do not know if that's contingent on it or not. This really doesn't have anything to do with Mr. Brown. This is the Nelson are pushing this. What their agreement is, I don't know, and we've not even talked about it for the final plat or even the preliminary.
I guess I was just trying to understand how they're both doing something with the same property, but yet they're not, I guess it doesn't seem like they're communicating as much here. Maybe they're outside of here, obviously, but.
So, and you make a good point. So, well, why are they doing this when it's not done yet? A little bit of a time factor. They wanted to get shovels in the ground as they speak. And I'm sure what Mr. Brown wants the CUP was formally okayed by council planning commission last month. That gave him the idea of, like, go ahead, like, funding anything else and this and that. What happens, even if he doesn't pursue the building itself, Mr. Brown, this plat will still have two rather good lots in them, no longer tax lots. Okay. So I can't say if it's contingent, but in this case, it doesn't matter much for the plat in action.
Okay.
Jeff, I think you were correct that he just wanted to move faster than the platting was going to happen.
Yes.
And his footprint wasn't a violation of the tax lots, and so there was no reason to not let him go forward with the building to start, and then they're going to plat around it.
I see.
And I think this cleans it up because that one little tree lot was in a different section, so that's why that was there. So this kind of cleans it up too.
Okay. I was just curious why it seems like we're talking about the same lot like multiple months in a row. That's why
it is different subjects. Same lot, and whatever happens after tonight, there will be two lots planted within the new subdivision.
Okay.
Whether or not the Brown Training Center's later training center is built or not, be ready for the next place it's done.
Thank you.
Sure. Any more questions of staff? Is there anyone in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I recommend approval of the final plat application submitted by Nielsen Homes and Development as presented.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Boswell to approve as presented. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that goes to the council on the next week?
June 24th.
June 24th. Okay, thank you. Jeff, you want to talk about the next issue? Next
one? Sorry about that. The next issue has been tabled. The information was not submitted in time. So this has been, we're asking it to be tabled until the July 1st. 2025 Plan Commission.
So does someone want to make a motion to table this item?
I will recommend we table this until the July 1st, 2025.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Radner to table to the July meeting. Please register your vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay, that'll go to the July meeting. Come on. There we go. I'll open a public hearing to consider an amendment to the City of Blair zoning regulations removing the federal highway setback exceptions from all districts and changing the front yard setbacks in the agricultural highway commercial, agricultural light industrial, and manufacturing and agricultural heavy industrial and manufacturing districts. Yeah.
Thank you again. So your next several items on the agenda have to do with amendments. It may seem like a lot, but again, our zoning code is quite old, I want to say, so there are a lot of new ideas out there, a lot of new opportunities and such. What we would like to do tonight is start cleaning up some of those areas that are more restrictive, and we're not quite sure why, but I think hopefully once I explain it, you can see what our thought pattern is on trying to make things a little more streamlined for the city and a little more easier, possibly easier, but less cumbersome for other development, whether it's residential or industrial. So the first one tonight we're going to deal with is the removal of the federal highway setbacks on the two highways out of the three within the city of Blair, because US 91 is not a federal highway. It's a state highway, but 133 and 30, if you have a house or a business on that street, or you're trying to build something or redo something, the setback from the center of the street, federal street, is 100 feet or 35 feet from the property line, which means that your lot, which may be a fairly shallow lot, as I will show here, you may lose half your lot just because of the setback. You can't build any structures in there. You can do parking, you can do landscaping, but no structures at all. When I talked with other cities, I talked to some other planning directors, I talked with the state of Nebraska, and I also did some more research. Nobody else has this rule. And I was asking around why this we have it, and nobody really knew why either. The state of Nebraska does not require it. So, in looking at some of the other cities did, we thought we would hopefully conform more to what other cities in our area. This just talks about right here what we're striking from this area. And it's not only in highway or agricultural or industrial, but it's also in residential. So if you have a new lot, let's say that a lot across from the YMCA, you would have to have your first house could not be any closer than 100 feet from the center of Highway 75 or 35 feet from the property line. So, which is nice for a backyard if you want, but if you don't want your backyard along the street, you're kind of restricted. This is another area right here. This is one actually that may be up for development. However, right here is 100 feet from the center line, which means that anything in this area right here cannot be used for anything but parking, no structures. Not even sure if a sign can go there. That's technically a structure. Other areas in town, same thing with residential, same thing on Highway 30, anything within 100 feet of that center. So again, after looking through other cities and seeing what they had, nobody had this in there. And we want to conform more. So as you read through your packet, one of the things that we do want to do is move the setback, like on the highway, from 25 feet, which is everything else in ACH, it's not on the highway. Or if you're going to have parking in front of your building, it's going to be 50 feet back from that from your property line. So that would give some area for parking in front of the extra structure. And with that, any questions for staff on this amendment?
Nope. Thank you. Does anyone in the audience want to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Recommend approval of the amendment to the City of Blair zoning regulations removing the federal highway setback exception from all districts and changing the front yard setbacks in the ACH, AML, and AMH districts.
I'll second that.
Motion by Kading, second by Pounds to approve the amendment to the city zoning regulations. I'm not going to repeat what you all said there. Any further discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will also go to the city council June 24th, I guess. I will open a public hearing to consider amendments to the City of Blair zoning regulations, removing the requirements in all business districts, ACH agriculture, agricultural, highway commercial district, central business district, limited commercial and office park district for a conditional use permit for permitted businesses within 200 feet of a residential street. Yep.
Thank you. Next consideration is the 200 yards CP. This is another one that we have found is a little bit hard to enforce, just because there may be a business coming in to a permitted business going into, let's say, CB or ACH, something like that. And if they're within 200 feet of a residential district, they are supposed to get a CUP. Well, if they move into a building that doesn't need any major modifications and just open up and go about their business, we may not even know the business is there. Even though we know later on we find out, so, well, they should have a CUP. But then we'll find out that, well, they didn't have to get a CUP or they didn't get one. It just becomes rather hard to enforce. So the intent of the clinic was, again, become an enforceable rule. 200 feet, again, we said we usually never know until afterwards. And here's a couple ideas, a couple examples again. This is just showing that we're cleaning up the language. This all should have been in your packet also. And just simply gets rid of within 200 feet, and you simply say, and underneath that is a list of the permitted uses. But without the 200-foot setback or 200-foot requirement for a CUP. To actually show it, it's a little bit easier to look at this way. This is the five businesses in the one building on 10th and Grant Street, or 9th and Grant Street, 10th here, 9th and Grant. We've got the bowling, we've got the washing machine. I think there may have been, I'm not sure if insurance or something. That one time was PSC. We've got some other businesses on that area. So as these change ownership or change business titles, you know, different business itself, they should be getting the CDP because they are actually within 200 feet of a residential district. And this is just one kind of example. If we would look at the downtown area, your business might be facing on completely different from where 200 feet comes into the residential district. So even though your business has nothing to do with the residential district, you're going to need to get a CUP. Again, it's become pretty hard to enforce. Again, right here, it shows 137 feet to that RMH district. This shows you some of the different areas. CCB, anything in here would need CUP. Anything over here. You know, this is only half a block away from something downtown in some of these residential areas. Right over here, you've got Taco Bell and these areas here, which may or may not be built up or could be some down in the future, but they're right next to our house.
I've been against the law then for quite some time.
I'm sorry?
I've been against the law then for some time because I'm within 200 feet of a residential.
Hopefully you were there before grandfather in. You've been there for quite a while, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm all serious. I see you people real quick.
See you next month.
Yep. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet.
No, man, I want to follow the law. I've been in jail before.
Moving on. Any questions for staff?
Nope. I'm kind of curious, unless you're covering it, but like there's where Conoco is and back in that street in that area, we have a lot of residential right against all that stuff. How does it affect those residents there?
Mm-hmm. So this does not affect those residences because it's not part of that district. We have something coming out next that we'll be talking about that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But this does not involve RML or RMH.
Okay. That's fine. Any more questions of staff? Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I recommend approval of the amendment to the City of Blair zoning regulations, removing the requirements in all business districts, ACH, CCB, CL, and OPD for a conditional use permit for permitted businesses within 200 feet of a residential district.
Motion to approve. For second.
Motion by Kading, second by Radner to approve the amendment as presented with all the business districts. Please vote.
Commission members present voting aye. Boswell, Kading, Pounds, Radner, Schroeder, Bozinger, Heinrich, abstaining, Palaska.
I can't vote for myself to go in.
That will also go to the June 24th meeting. I will open a public hearing to consider an amendment to the City of Blair zoning regulations, removing the requirements from all industrial districts, AML Agricultural Light Industrial and Manufacturing District, and AMH Agricultural Heavy Industrial and Manufacturing Districts for a conditional use permit for permitted businesses within 500 feet of a residential district. Jeff.
Thank you. Now, this does deal with our industrial areas. So, and we'll deal with almost all industrial areas throughout the city, including the central area here. So the intent of this amendment is to remove what's probably initially protections for the central part of Blair and with Conoco and other businesses in that area. However, as the city's expanded and as we are continuing to expand our AML, our agricultural manufacturing, light industry, and manufacturing heavy industry, this does come into play because we have it sometimes developers knowing that if they need to get a CUP for something like this, then it kind of holds back on whether or not they're going to go forward. Plus, if you have a resident or an industrial district already and somebody moves in, creates a residential district, maybe a subdivision, something like that, now every new business in that AML or AMH district is going to be required to get a CUP. Why 500 feet and why some of these areas? Again, these are just maybe from a little bit of, I don't want to say old in the tooth, but back in the day they were a pretty good idea. As we've expanded and the city continues to grow and expand, they don't quite fit the way they should. And I'll explain a little bit. Right here on Iowa Street, we have all these businesses. That's probably good to have this as a CUP for this area right here. But over here we have auto places. And the only thing across the street from them is a school, but it's zoned RMH. Right here it shows 500 feet. So these businesses right here and in this area right there, they would need a CUP for any new business in there. Because even though it's across the train tracks, even though it's up a hill and past more buildings, they're technically within 500 feet of residential district. So same thing with all of these. They front onto the front on the front street, but a backyard is within 500 feet of a residential district. So that's one of the areas that we would like to see this actually omitted from AMH and AML. Now, not to get ahead of myself, but the next question that I'm going to get is, well, what about AML in the central part of Blair? And for that, our next item for your consideration will be an overlay that will return the CUP requirements onto an area where we choose throughout the city. And again, that'll be the next item. This is just dealing with AML, and can you pull up the industrial map, please? AML and AMH requiring that 500 feet within your residential district now.
Is not accurate. Didn't matter which way I was. You want the zoning on, Jeff?
Yes, please.
It's a possessment. It is.
And then slide over to the east part of the city. So again, all this area here, even these little areas right here, which is an empty lot between two train tracks, would need a CUP because they're within 500 feet of a residential area. Same thing with this area, because there's residential right there. We can go south a little bit there. All of this area, I mean, at the time, I think it was well designed for what the city was. Pretty close in, not a whole lot of industry on the fringes, but we've had have expanded. So with that, any questions on this request?
Well, I'm just concerned about if it's residential, that they have a chance to make their voices heard on anything. Now, I know you're talking about overlays, and that's probably will work, but right now we're talking just about this thing, not overlays. So that's my only concern about this.
And it's not a bad concern, because you do want to make sure that not only are we taking care of our businesses, but we are taking care of our residents. But again, a lot of this has moved out, so much so that this has become more of an impediment in some ways than not. And again, if something farther down in the future, especially up to the north, became a residential thing close to a industrial, they would have to do a CUP, even if there's no houses there.
Yes, sir. If I could, Phil Green, City Administrator, number one, I really appreciate Jeff taking care of these things, because these were things that I wanted to correct, you know, years ago, and now I've let him take care of all the things that I got frustrated with. I guess one of the things that we're trying to do as well is transition from this blanket need for a CUP simply because of distance, and go back to, I think, the better intent that the CUP is required because of the particular use that might go someplace. It's one of the reasons why in every single one of our zoning districts, you've got your permitted uses, which are things that are allowed by right. And that should be a list of things that generally no one's going to complain about in that particular zoning district. Then you've got your accepted uses, and those all require a conditional use permit, primarily because there's probably unique things about them, excessive noise or potential stuff sitting outside that might be more obnoxious to some people and would allow them to have that voice and that opportunity to come speak. This rule simply said, sorry, I don't care what kind of business you are, I don't care if everything's inside and it's going to look great and not cause any problems, you're just too close to a residential district. Well, that just didn't seem to make a lot of sense. And technically, it was very hard for us to police, because the building might not change at all, but technically, if a business moved out and somebody else moves in, we should be running to them, telling them, hey, sorry, by the way, before you can move into this business, you've got to get a CUP that no one's going to care about and no one's probably going to come talk about. So that I think is part of the understanding of what we're trying to do. Again, Jeff said the next issue is going to come back to reinstall that requirement just in the central area, because you are really, really close to some of those residential areas, and the kind of businesses that sometimes could happen or the expansion that could happen there probably is more relevant. So hopefully that philosophical helps you understand a little bit. And again, this was just one of those things that for the last 20 years has been a frustration to me, at least, because it just didn't make a lot of sense.
Any other questions of staff? Is there anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
I recommend approval of the amendment to the zoning regulations, removing the requirements from all industrial districts, AML and AMH, for a CUP for businesses within 500 feet of a residential district.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Boswell, right? To approve the amendment to City of Blair zoning regulations, removing requirements from all industrial districts within 500 feet of residential district. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So it passes and will go to the City Council on June 24th. I will open a public hearing to consider an amendment to the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Section 10, by adding Section 10.1.1, a special use near residential SUR overlay district, which requires a conditional use permit for permitted businesses within 300 feet of a residential area, the district, excuse me. Jeff.
Okay, thank you. So now we're getting down to this overlay. If the 500 feet is voted after your approval on your recommendation and council votes to remove that, then again, as we mentioned before, there are some areas that may need this. And the nice thing about this overlay district is it can be placed anywhere in the city. This is not just the overlay district. Again, it's just something as a tool that you will recommend. We think they should go here, then it's up to Planning Commission and City Council to say, yes, we like it there, or maybe not there, or maybe bigger or smaller. This really gives the Planning Commission and the Council, as the voice of the public, to simply say, where can we put this overlay district? Now, I had somebody mention to me one time, it seems like we're doing a lot of these overlay districts that get away from the actual zoning, but it's really not that way. The overlay district is something to fine-tune the zoning. There might be something unique in one part of a zoning district that is nowhere else in the city, but because it's just that one blanket zoning district, you can't do much about it. An overlay allows a city, again, through Planning Commission and Council, to take this overlay and drop it anywhere in the city they want to say that, yes, now, and in this case, you do need a CUP because you're within 300 feet. Now, next question, I'm sure it's going to be asked. It was just 500 feet. Why is it now 300 feet? And that's because the state only requires us to notify people within 300 feet of a property line. So you want to get a CUP, and you live 500 feet away, like the old rule was, you're not even noticed that this is happening unless you see it in the paper. So we're choosing 300 feet this time. It's more aligned with the state requirements of notification. And again, this is a way of adding some protections to different parts of town that may need it because they're right next to an industrial area. And again, to encourage public input, and again, we went with that 300 feet because it better aligns with the state of Nebraska. To me, it didn't even make much sense to keep it at 500 feet, but then you don't tell people this is even happening. So this is an example, and this is just an example of a place that this could be, overlay could be installed at a future meeting, possibly next month. And this shows right here, everything residential within 300 feet. So, and this is between 10th Street, 18th Street, there's a railroad right away, and then Park Street up there. So I hope that made sense on why, again, we wanted this overlay. It's not detracting from the existing zoning. It's just kind of a way to fine-tune and give an opportunity over a blanket area in a small, concentrated area if we so choose, or if you so choose. Any questions?
Yeah, and that's a question.
I know.
Sorry, folks.
Go ahead.
How does decision being made of putting this overlay district? Is it because the business is going to go in, so I'll put it there? Or are we going to put the overlay in place now, or when, and then whatever happens?
Well, in this case, we will be asking for an overlay district at probably the next meeting because this is an essential part of town. This is an area that by all rights probably should not have any industrial. You look at places in Omaha like the old steel factory on Saddle Creek Road, which is now a brand new technology center and things stuff like that. So the idea would be great to be able to move this industrial area out of a central part of Blair and revitalize it for something else. However, right, at this time that's not an option. And excuse me. So we are cognizant of the public being right across the street, unlike somewhere we're out on the edges where you've got empty lots and more space, which is why we We'd like to get the SUR, you know, this neighborhood thing in place to be able to use it later on. And it could be used other places in town too. Anywhere that there's residential next to industrial, you could probably place this on there. Now, who's going to decide that? It could come from complaints. It could come from maybe there's going to be new industry, new construction. And we're like, this is awfully close. This is real similar to what it was like, you know, in the central part of Blair. Maybe we should see if Planning Commission and Council would like this there.
And Jeff, this isn't limited to just industrial, right? It could go into commercial zoning district as well. We wrote it broad enough.
I was going to say, I without looking right at it, we did try to keep it very broad for that. So.
Yeah. So it's these kind of overlays I see as being very helpful in areas that aren't completely built out yet. Because you're never quite sure what's going to go there is the point.
Yes, Mr. Green is correct. As we notice right here, it's for permitted businesses with the 300-foot residential. It doesn't necessarily single out or AMH, AML, could be for anything like that. Which again, like Mr. Green said, gives us opportunities to kind of fine-tune things. What's good in one place may not be good in another. Back to that argument.
Does placement of the SUR have to come before the Planning Commission and the Council before it can be put on there?
Yep, it does.
So we're not talking tonight about where we're placing it.
Not
we're
at
just
all.
Talking about if we'll allow.
Exactly. Yeah. We need to create this to become, I know you guys get tired of me saying it, another tool to be able to move and expand. It would come in the form of a rezone application to be able to place this on top of present zoning district. Now, this doesn't replace everything in that zoning district. This just adds the fact that any permitted business will need to have a CDP.
Any more questions of staff?
I guess I do have one more, I guess.
Yeah.
So if we've already voted to remove the 500-foot requirement, mm-hmm. and if, say, we move to and we pass this through, how, and the council goes ahead and just removes that 500-foot, how quickly do you act to get this place back in?
That'll happen next month.
That'll happen.
Yeah, we're going to do this for
okay.
July 1.
So I don't want to leave ourselves open. Hey, all of a sudden we'll have to do something.
No. And the nice thing is if somebody came in to renew their CUP right now, you could simply say, yeah, but you've got to follow the rules, because that gives Planning Commission the prerogative to do what they think is best for the area, for the city. So the one thing that will affect, though, is anybody who has this place on them, let's say does actually go to Conoco, that's probably where we'll try to place it first. They would be now required to have only 500 feet, or excuse me, only 300 feet. Again, for that reason of you're 500 feet away, but you're not notified that this is even happening. Due to the state statutes.
Any more questions? Thank you, Jeff. Does anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
We recommend approval of the amendment to the zoning regulation section 10 by adding section 1011, a special use near residential SUR overlay district.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion by Kading, second by Schroeder, to approve the amendment to the City of Blair Zoning Regulations, Section 10, by adding Section 1011, Special Use Near Residential Overlay District. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
It passes and it goes to the City Council June 24th. Item number 10, Jeff.
We have withdrawn both items 10 and 11 from tonight's agenda.
So I need a motion to table 10 and then to table 11. So
don't need to act on the other withdrawn.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to don't need to table it?
Yeah, this is before the meeting, yes.
Okay, sounds good. I'll open a public hearing to consider an amendment to the City of Blair zoning regulations allowing accessory units in the second front yard with a conditional use permit. Jeff.
Thank you. So your final consideration tonight has to do with the tricky issue of separate front yards. And I know we've all talked about those second front yards are, you know, you're facing this way on a corner lot, that's your front yard, you get out there, you get numbers. But the street over here is your second front yard. Anything past your foundation is that second front yard. It's still a front yard, but it's secondary. So you can't have a fence over 42 inches out front, 48 inches on the second front, and such and that. One issue we've had come up quite often, and in this case, we thought it's maybe time to see if there's a better answer to people other than you just tell them no. I tend to do that quite a bit sometimes because that's just what the rules say. In this case, and here's a good example. In fact, these people right here have kind of spearheaded this idea. They would like to have, and I think it may be a detached garage. Now, if they attach it to their house, they could build it right there. But they don't really want to do that. They want to have a detached garage back in this area, a little bit farther back. Same thing with this area here. It's a nice big lot. Irregardless of where the driveways may be, that would be a separate issue. But they would like to have, let's say, a detached garage in that second front. Plenty of room for it, plenty of setbacks, but the regulations simply say no. This choice of turning the second front CUP over to Planning Commission and City Council means that if they want to do this and they want to pay the price of coming before that, then it would be up to the body to decide if this is a good idea or not, not related to one guy who's just reading from a book or one gal reading from a book. Again, there's several other places in town. We have, even in the older parts of town, technically there's, you know, we've had people say, I'd like to have a detached garage here. It's like, you need to keep it as far back as possible. If they can't go too close, because like on 13th Street, because you've got setbacks there, the adding a accessory structure, whether it's a garage or a shed or whatever, to the second front, by no way means that the setbacks are going to be eliminated. They still have to follow the rules. In this case, it might be 25 feet from the property line, 5 feet from the side and such. So.
Is that the same setback as from the front backyard, or is that a setback is the same as the backyard setback or not?
The backyard, the rear setback is completely different than that.
Okay.
The front yard setback usually is the front yard setback, whether it's second front or first front. In this case, I think it might be 25 feet, minimum 20. We don't have any front yards that are no longer 15 feet. We as in all of us, got rid of that a couple of years ago because 20-foot long pickups tend to block sidewalks and such.
Any more questions of staff? Thank you, Jeff. Does anybody in the audience like to speak on this issue? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing and see what the commission would like to do.
Recommend approval of allowing accessory units in the second front yard with the CUP as presented.
Second.
Motion by Katie, second by Radner to approve the amendment to City Blair zoning regulations allowing accessory units in the second front yard with the CUP. Any more discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that will go to City Council June 24th?
Yes.
Report from staff.
Thank you, Chairman. I would just like to add, again, my appreciation to Jeff for cleaning up all these different issues. There's been a lot of them, as you've noticed over the last several months. I actually think we're getting relatively close to the end of that list, at least, that we have put together, but we'll continue to make some modifications. I just encourage all of you, as you're, you know, taking time to look through those zoning regulations and subdivision regulations, if you find some things that just seem a little odd, don't hesitate at all to come to us and ask why. A lot of these things are long historical things that were in zoning when it first originally was written for the city of Blair back in the late 70s and early 80s, and they just may not apply to today's development world. So we're open to see those things change. So even though that list is hopefully going to get a little bit shorter, we do hope that from a development standpoint, things continue to heat up and come before you. I will tell you ahead of time that we're working on another annexation package. It's a fairly large one that covers several properties on the west side of town all the way down around the southern edge of the town, partly spurred on to some of the development that's been happening in recent years, partly with some guidance from the city council for some areas that we just kind of want to enhance a little bit and maybe see some other development in. So we anticipate going to the city council later this month with a request to have that appear before you as the planning commission next month in July. And so that will be a rather interesting one. So if you are here on July 1st, I encourage you to be here that night. And then with that recommendation, it will go to the council. The last annexation package we did, we pushed it fairly quickly and went to the very first council meeting in the month, which is not normally our pattern. We're not necessarily going to do that next time. So the three readings, as long as we get that far ahead, will be the second council meeting in July, and then the two in the month of August for the three required readings. And that's one of the few specific things that state statute says the council can't waive. So there'll be three opportunities for citizens to kind of speak up on that issue. But I won't be surprised that there be some people here next month for the Planning Commission if that is on the agenda to have some conversation about that. So I hope you have a great rest of June, though, and thank you for your service.
I'm looking for a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
First by Katie and second by Boswell to adjourn the meeting. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.